Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
I want to say a word about a meeting that has been set up for our church by the headmaster and associate headmaster of Christian Heritage Academy. My daughters have been attending Christian Heritage Academy for the last 4 years or so. Young man that sang this morning also, Mr. Liam. Liam has also been attending Christian Heritage Academy for a few years now. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not. If you're not, then I want to make you aware. The Oklahoma legislature this past spring voted in school choice for the state of Oklahoma, which to me is a game changer for our state. It means a couple of different things in particular. One of the things that it means is that our parents who sacrificed all of our Christian education to send us to a Christian school while also paying taxes for us not to go to the government school. Now parents who want to allow their kids not to be brain contaminated instead of brain washed. Now, folks, don't get upset with me. I understand not all teachers at all public schools are the same. But the foundation of our government school system is the same. And it is a corrupted foundation. It's been that way a long time. So don't get upset with me, okay? But if you see that, and you maybe have been one that has said in time past, I just can't afford it. I just can't afford it. Now, let me tell you, friend, you can afford it. You can. State of Oklahoma, our legislatures, hats off to them, have made it possible. And what a blessing that is. What it also means, and what I'd like to see accomplished, and I know what others would like to see accomplished, is I would like to see some real competition in education. There's been a monopoly for years. So for instance, and I'm sure Mr. Bullard will say something about this, maybe Ms. DeMoss, the headmasters at CHA. But for years, I knew this to be the case, I just didn't know the numbers. CHA's tuition is about $10,000, just round it off, about $10,000. That's per year, is that right? Per year per student, $10,000. Say, oh, that's a lot of money. Could I tell you this morning that per student per year for the government school, it takes about twice that, supposedly, to educate our children? Did y'all hear me? So about twice that for them to get the wonderful education that they're getting. Now, let's forget the corrupted foundation for a little bit, and let's talk about where we minister in our community. Right here in Ward 5 of Midwest City, Oklahoma. I realize you don't all live here, but this area, I don't even live in this ward. I live in Ward 3 of Midwest City. But this is sensitive to my heart because as the years have ticked off, serving in this community, I know how bad the education system has been for this community, the Telstar area. That's the reason why folks move. They move out of this ward and of this area because they know that if they're going to send their children to school, to the government school in this area, the education level will be so diminished that they will be set up for failure in life. I've learned these things. And so what the legislature has done, let me give credit where credit is due. What God has done through the Oklahoma legislature is He has allowed us now to be able to have competition. So what you're saying, Pastor, is we can take half the money and do a better job educating our children? That's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly what I'm saying. What are they doing with all the money that it takes otherwise, twice the money to be able to so-called educate our children? Your guess is as good as mine. paying coaches, paying for sports programs, paying for buildings, paying for a bunch of overhead and junk to me. And they know if they don't use the money, they lose it, so they're going to use it on something. You see these buildings constantly getting new faces and everything? Boy, it's wonderful, isn't it? Your tax dollars and my tax dollars are paying for them. Meanwhile, our children are coming out as dummies. And not only dummies, but corrupted dummies. So that's pretty frank language. Well, I feel pretty frankly about it. These children aren't dummies. They're not being educated. That's the problem. That's the problem. So we now have been given the ability, if we choose, to get in the game. Parents who have children that are in school, and listen to me this morning, if you've already had children in school and you're past that point now, you have the ability to get in the game with your tax dollars that are still being used to fund the government schools. You can now begin to fund private education because of what the Oklahoma legislature has done for us. Every single one of you that are paying taxes can get involved in this, whether you have children in the schools or not. Did you hear me? Okay, why am I telling you this? Because November the 16th from 12 to 1, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., Christian Heritage Academy is going to pay for lunch for every attendee. Free lunch, folks! Sound familiar with the government school? It's free, it's free. No, it's not. It's never free. But they're going to pay for lunch from a place that I like called McAllister's. It's going to be a good lunch. 12 to 1, November the 16th, right here at Open Door Baptist Church premises. They're going to talk to us about the benefits of what has occurred and tell us how that we can get behind private education. And when we get behind private education, what we're going to be doing is we're taking money from the government education. You say, Pastor Taylor, why would you want to do that? Because the government has failed us. So what we need to do is we need to get some competition going, get some teachers that are bought in, invested, that are willing to teach, get some good proper structure back in place again, and we can start actually educating people to be able to go out and be productive citizens of our country again. Y'all get that? Now, I'm on my soapbox, but I'm on it on purpose. And I pray and I hope that everybody in here, if you don't have opportunity November the 16th, that's a Thursday, that you will make the opportunity. I'm telling you now because I want you to be able to plan for this. If you can just take a lunch break, come over 12 to 1, it'll be done. They'll be very prompt. And you can come hear all about this, and I promise you, this is something you're going to want to get involved in, okay? So, 12 to 1, November the 16th, we need to know by next Sunday who is going to be attending. I need to have a list, a roster, so that they know who to buy food for. Everybody got it? So, I'm going to mention this a couple more times. November the 16th, 12 to 1, free food. That'll get a guy like me, and maybe some of you that aren't as trained on food, you'll come from some other reason, okay? Better reasons. But it will. It will really, it'll be a blessing to us, and we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. They put on here that they need to know how many people, and then also food allergies. If you've got a food allergy, they need to know about that as well. But outside of that, we're looking forward to that, and I'll mention this again. And then we need to know next Sunday who is going to be attending that meeting. And I want to encourage all of you to attend that meeting. I'm going to put these, matter of fact, do I have an usher come up here? Somebody. Put these on the back table. This gives the details of the meeting. And if you're interested in that, take that before you leave when the service is done this morning. Okay, praise God for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, are you there? All right. Let's read verses 11 through 15 this morning for our text. God bless you this morning. We had guests come in that were visited yesterday, And I greatly, greatly appreciate you coming and being in our church service this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I want to bring a message entitled, "When the Fire Reveals the Foundation." When the fire reveals the foundation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our midst already this morning. Thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit, that person of the Godhead that is so important. And important specifically to the day and age in which we live. And I pray that you'll tie these things together for us this morning, even the Heart and Home Sunday School lesson, and this now message, and then what you have for us in our evening message as well. Tie all these things together for us, Lord, and help us to be prepared for that time when the fire will reveal the foundation. I pray if there is somebody here in our midst that is lost, that has no confidence as to whether they are a member of the family of God this morning based on the Word of God, I pray that they'll realize their condition and be willing to come to you before it's too late. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned to you last Sunday evening that it had been 7 years since the Lord moved our family from Bartlett, Tennessee to Midwest City, Oklahoma, where Open Door Baptist Church had voted unanimously to receive me as pastor for the next generation. About 6 months prior to our move, a local news story that likely seemed insignificant to most, and at the time of which I had no knowledge, became significant for our family. On Monday morning, March 28, 2016, a house fire quickly consumed its victim, although, thank God, no occupants were present at the time of the fire. KOCO5 stated that the fire, this is in quotes, "the fire is on Oak Park Drive near Post Road and Reno," unquote. A Channel 6 News, does anybody remember Channel 6 News? Was there a Channel 6 News? Tulsa. Why in the world? Oh, okay. So this is why Tulsa would have reported a story out of Midwest. I was trying to figure in my mind, what in the world? A Channel 6 News added the detail that the home was, quote, "in the 10,000 block," unquote. The 10,000 block of Oak Park Drive. Fast forward to the spring of the next year, when during a Tuesday morning witnessing time, y'all know we go out and witness for the Lord Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock. Gene Stone commented to me while riding down a street called Oak Park Drive that that piece of property might make for a nice house. Just cruising down the street. The rest is history, as it's said. The Lord allowed our family to rebuild a house on that piece of property. March 28, 2016, house burns down. And there we live on that property today. All that was remaining of that house fire, once the insurance had cleaned it up, was the foundation. Our text passage describes, in spiritual, eternal terms, a work that has the same outcome. The work or structure, hear this, it's important, is a soul. And bittersweetly, the foundation of that soul is all that remains when the fire completes its task. Listen to me this morning, friend. If you are a born-again believer and you're sure of that today, I want you to know that God began a work in your life the moment that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And what is left of that work may be only the foundation if you don't get involved in a real biblical way, the way that God would have you to get involved. Notice verse number 13, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Do not think that it's just the pastor that's going to have his work tried by the fire. It's every man. Every man who has the foundation that we're going to talk about in just a second. Every man who has that foundation will have the entirety of the work built on that foundation tried by the fire. I hope you understand this morning. It's very important. When the fire reveals the foundation, in the first place, I want us to notice the exclusive foundation. The exclusive foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. What a statement. What a statement. That this apostle, this disciple, this believer in the Lord Jesus Christ would have the audacity to say, I have laid the foundation. What a statement. But could I say to you this morning that if you have ever had any real direct involvement in being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, helping an individual to understand that without Christ, that without His shed blood applied to their sin debt, that without the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will experience an eternity apart from God. But if they'd be willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, they can be born again into the family of God, and that person received that truth for themselves. You have had a part in laying the foundation in that person's life. What a beautiful and a wonderful thing to be able to say, I laid the foundation, and I can go back. And this doesn't happen a lot, so I like to be able to toot the Lord's horn. Not my own. None of us are worthy to have this capacity.
But the Lord allows us to get involved in His ministry, in His work. And last year, thank the Lord, early in the year, on a cold morning, a lady stepped out of her house and listened to the pastor talk about the simplicity of the gospel, and she received it. And I can say today, I laid the foundation in her life. She's sitting here this morning. The work is ongoing on the foundation that I had a part in laying. Now, folks, understand, I am not saying that there's anything good or great about me, because the only thing that's good or great about Pastor Taylor is the Lord Jesus Christ in me. Really, that's the entire point of this message. But it's a beautiful thing that we can be audacious and say, I have laid the foundation. Could I ask you a question this morning? Is there anybody, anywhere that can say, that person laid the foundation in my life? Could they point to you individually and say, they laid the foundation for me? I have laid the foundation, thank God, and, verse number 10, another buildeth thereon. Praise God, some lay the foundation, and others help build. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Notice this, verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What's the claim here? The claim is that there is an exclusive foundation that is laid in the life of every soul that's going to have a foundation. Folks, you better listen to me this morning. I don't care what else you call other foundations. Biblically speaking, it's not a foundation. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how newfangled it is. You know, there's new technology. We have this new foundation that we can put in place. Boy, it's amazing. It doesn't matter. God says there's only one foundation when it comes to a soul that can be laid. And it's not through self-righteousness. It's not through church attendance. It's not through water baptism. And I could go on and on and on and on and on about what those are. They're not a foundation. You might as well take a nice house and build it on some dirt or some grass or whatever's there and expect it to have storms and the wind and all those things come along and it just to stand firm. Y'all remember Jesus' words, right? That man that built his house on the sand, the sand was not a foundation, it's just the ground. And it was destroyed as a result. So God talks about this exclusive foundation. Folks, I want you to understand something this morning. Acts chapter 4, verse number 11. We'll look over there just for a moment. I'm going to read as soon as I get there. Acts chapter 4, verse number 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. He's speaking in these building terms. Neither, verse number 12, is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you hear the exclusive language this morning? No other. Not Confucius, not Buddha, not the Pope, not anybody else. I'm saying Jesus Christ, He's the exclusive foundation for a soul. The apostle was quoting from Psalm number 118, verse number 22. God had been trying to tell His people physically and in this world, the Israelites, about the Messiah and who He would be. And so the apostle references the Messiah and he tells this crowd of rejectors toward the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the head of the corner. He's the part that you have to have. You can have everything else, and it can be great. It can be wonderful. I've said this a lot lately. Building on any other foundation, you might build what looks like, spiritually speaking, a nice house. It may look religious. It may look good in the eyes of the world. People might say, boy, that family right there, that guy right there, that lady right there, those are good people. Boy, they got a good life. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a time where the fire is going to reveal the foundation. And if there's no foundation there, guess what, friend? You don't have a work. You have no building. All you have is destruction. Could I say it as directly as I know how? If you're trusting anything other than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover your sin debt this morning, you have no foundation. Do you hear me? John chapter 14, verse number 6. By the way, the world religious types don't like this kind of preaching. They want us to all just coexist. And why can't the Muslims and the Christians and the Jewish and the Catholics and all, why can't we all just get along? One has a foundation, all the rest do not. Folks, I'm not speaking from a place of pride. I'm not talking about an American Christianity or anything American this morning. My Savior is from Bethlehem. He lived in Nazareth, okay? I'm not talking about something American this morning. I'm talking about the God who said, I know that man has been separated from me, but I will provide a way through the Messiah, the promised one, that man and God can have a relationship once again. He's the foundation this morning. And if I lived in some other country around the world, it would not be some other way. It would be like Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, and he said to him, I am the way, the truth, the lie, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus exclaimed himself to be the exclusive foundation for a soul. Look at one of my favorite passages with me, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, one of my favorite chapters in the Word of God. Folks, there's coming a day when the fire is going to reveal the foundation. It's going to happen. You can hide your lack of foundation only for so long. You can pretend to have a foundation only so long. The fire is coming, and it's going to reveal the foundation. Isaiah 45, 15. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. God does not intend to hide himself, but when mankind says, I want no part of you, God hides himself. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Well, I like that kind of language right there. I love everlasting guarantees. Any of you shoppers, you ever get an everlasting guarantee? You know, they say lifetime, but then they got small print. Yeah. We're talking about everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Man, I love that. Doesn't matter what happens to the world. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Look who the promise is coming from. God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Thank God. I am the Lord and there is none else. Does that sound exclusive to you? Sounds exclusive to me. I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. Here God is saying, I'm not hiding from you. I'm hiding from you because you don't want me. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now, think about this now. If any man has his work tried by the fire, gold, silver, precious stones, what's the next one? Wood. Wood. You see these folks creating their idols. I don't care what they create it out of, but they got to create it, and when the fire comes to test it, it destroys it. That's what God is talking about. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. If you're trusting your own righteousness this morning, you are essentially praying unto a God that cannot save. You say, who's my God? The one in the mirror. You're trusting that your own righteousness is good enough to reconcile you and a holy, righteous God. Good luck with that. Verse number 21, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord, the self-existent one? And there is no God else beside me, a just God. And notice this, I love this, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. I love it. I don't need anybody else's help. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, no need for a return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Pastor Taylor, how can you claim to be eternally righteous this morning? I can only claim it because in the Lord am I righteous today. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. You go any other way you want, friend. Put your faith and your confidence in anything else. You're going to be ashamed when the fire comes. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now you heard the language, the Old Testament language of Isaiah chapter 45. The Jehovah's Witnesses love that passage. They love it like I love it, but we love it for different reasons. Why do you love it, Pastor Taylor? Let me show you. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Another one of my favorite passages. Philippians chapter 2. I'm talking about an exclusive foundation. God said, I am the Lord and there is none else. There's no salvation outside of me. That's what God said, Isaiah 45. Well, notice what God tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ, the Messiah. Jesus, Jehovah, saves. Even his name indicates who it is. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's telling us about his deity. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Does that sound exclusive to you? Sounds exclusive to me. That at the name of Jesus, all these folks that want to constantly talk about Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. How about we talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? I'm not opposed to talk about Yahweh. But I can just as easily insert Jesus there as well. Let's not disconnect Jesus from the Godhead. That comes from the stinking enemy. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, do you notice the exclusive language here? every name, every knee. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I believe that's talking about hell, the earth, and heaven. Wherever someone may be. Yes, those that say, oh yeah, I'm going to be in hell, partying it up with my friends. That's not what the Bible tells me. But what the Bible does say is you will bow your knee one day to Jesus Christ. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice, to the glory of God the Father. The same exclusive language that's used in Isaiah chapter 45 when God says every knee will bow to me. It's the same language in verse number 10 where he said every knee shall bow to Jesus. It's an exclusive foundation. We notice the connection between the how and the that in our text passage. The how and the that. Verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 3:10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Would it make good sense at all to take the best of materials and put it on no foundation whatsoever? Would that make any sense at all? Wouldn't it be better to lay the best foundation you can possibly lay and maybe build with some lesser materials? Now, God wants us to build with good materials too, and He says we can. Here's the point. You can build with lesser materials and still have a foundation, or you can build with better materials in man's mind and have no foundation and you've got nothing. Do you hear me? So there's a connection here between the how and the that. Okay, we've said enough about the exclusive foundation. Number two, quickly, not only the exclusive foundation, but the engulfing fire. The engulfing fire. We see it in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. By the way, God's expectation is that any man in verse number 12 be every man in verse number 13. Any man be every man. God wants anybody, I don't care how bad you think you are or how good you think you are, God wants any man to be every man. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be, this is a promise, folks, revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Some of you are aware of our ministry that God has given us that encompasses youth football. We call our team the Scorchers. The verse that we have plastered across our front of our uniform and in some other places as well is Hebrews 12:29. Hebrews 12:28 says this, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Did y'all hear that? Why can this kingdom not be moved? Think about it. Why can the kingdom not be moved? Because of its foundation. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh, how we need that in our society. And then it says this, for our God is a consuming fire. He's not to be played with. It's not some light, vain matter like you'd see a dumb idol, like God calls them, that you can just kick over and you don't have to worry about it. You're not just going to kick over God and not have to worry about it. Now, you may trample over the blood of His Son right now, but you're going to have to deal with it one day. The engulfing fire. Where did that verse come from? For our God is a consuming fire. Boy, that's a nice verse. Oh, it's got context. Oh, I love the context. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hurry. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I love this. I got excited about this yesterday. I had a headache yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening. Oh, man. I was thinking through some of these things and looking at some of these passages, and I had a headache, but the Lord came through. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 1. Think about the verse, for our God is a consuming fire. Got it? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen. Now you better begin to pay attention right here. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. You say, the Old Testament, boy, that's some boring stuff. You better pay attention. God references it in the New Testament. And then right here in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, He says to the children of Israel, your eyes have seen, you were there to see what happened in the matter of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Do you want to be alive or do you want to be destroyed? I'm not talking about in this life, friend. I'm talking about in eternity. Do you want to be alive or do you want to be destroyed? Drop down with me to verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst, here it is, of the fire. Lest ye corrupt yourselves. God is saying the day that you were at Horeb and you saw that fire, did you see some sort of likeness, some sort of material matter that day? No. God is saying you better make the distinction between false gods and the real God. You better make the distinction. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make ye a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. What are the so-called heathen people around the world worshiping? They're worshiping all that stuff. This is what they've always worshiped. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Darwin. The foundation of our corrupt government education system, that this just all came about somewhere along the way. It oozed along. And now we have all that we have? No. No. Lest thou shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace. I love that. Even out of Egypt, to be unto Him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. Furthermore, you better hear this. The Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swear that I should not go over Jordan and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But ye shall go over and possess that good land. Now notice, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Notice, here it is. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Here it is, verse number 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Notice, even a jealous God. Oh, we don't like that language. Pastor Taylor, are you saying that God is jealous? That God thinks so small of himself that he's jealous? You don't understand the nature of Almighty God. He's jealous for our sake, not for his. There's no threatening God's position. He's concerned for us. That's why he's jealous. I'm talking about an engulfing fire. Don't play with God. Too many folks in our society playing around with God. Lightly using his name, lightly esteeming the Holy One of Israel. I'm just here to tell you, like the old preachers used to preach, there's coming a fire. And it's going to do the work that God has called for it to do. We're talking about Baal Peor, aren't we? Well, we might as well go a little deeper for a moment. Go to Numbers 25. Go to Numbers 25. You say, Pastor, my preacher doesn't preach like that. He just has these nice little sermonettes. Well, that's not what we do at Open Door Baptist Church. We delve down deep into the Word of God because we know that God wants us to know Him. And when we know His Word, we'll know Him. Numbers chapter 25, verse number 1, we're talking about Baal Peor and the fact that our God is a consuming fire. And God says, do you remember what happened at Baal Peor, children of Israel? Numbers 25, here it is. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Sexual immorality and spiritual immorality were combined. You better be careful, friend, who you decide to link up with in relationship, intimate relationship. It's liable to sink your ship. You better be careful. God's not playing around. Verse number 2, number 25, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. They, the daughters of Moab, called the people of Israel unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. They're worshiping and now they're serving. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. Here it is, Baal Peor. That's what we're talking about. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. I've looked at this fire thing, and there's all types of terminology throughout the Word of God. It's amazing to me how God says anger was kindled. It's fiery language. God's anger was kindled. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the... How's this for a nice, compassionate Christian person? Take all the heads of the people... and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. Notice this, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judge of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor, this false idolatry. And behold, it gets better. It gets better. This is in your Bible that you brought today. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. And in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Pastor, you just don't understand. I love this woman. She's a good woman. I know she doesn't believe in the one true God, but I love her. You better be careful who you come to love. They're weeping. It seems to me like they're weeping because of this judgment that Moses has passed. And this man doesn't want his intimate partner, whoever she is, to be destroyed. The Bible says, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he saw these circumstances specifically. He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. Whoa. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. That's the important part. And those that died in the plague, you say, oh, those two people, they didn't have to treat them like that. God says that before they were dealt with, there had already died in the plague 24,000. Go ahead, keep playing with God. We're talking about an engulfing fire. I'm talking about the same God who was a judge, still is a judge today. And the fire is going to reveal the foundation. Let me say one final word. We've talked about the exclusive foundation and the engulfing fire. Finally this morning, the eternal free gift. Thank God for the eternal free gift. Take your Bibles with me one more time. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All this judgment talk, Pastor, do you have any good news today for us? I do. I want to help you be prepared for the day that the fire reveals the foundation. If you're an unbeliever this morning, if you're not sure that you're a part of the family of God, I'm here to help you. God has helped me to help you. If you're here this morning and you are a believer, I'm here to help you. God doesn't want just a foundation remaining. Did y'all know that, believers? He don't want us to get to judgment time and there just be a foundation. Well, praise the Lord, you made it to heaven. That's not what God desires for you and I, Christian friend. He desires that there's a work that's been built on that foundation that will last for all eternity to the glory of God. Some of you look bored. You need to learn to get in your Bible and really figure out what God is doing. 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15. Notice what it says. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Praise God. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. And I say once again, praise the Lord. If all you ever do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, you will be delivered from the fires of an eternal hell. That's all you ever do. I'm not telling you that's what God wants for you. It's not. God desires so much more. But I'm saying you can simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've got an eternal ticket. We don't like that language. Oh, once saved, always saved. That's what the Bible teaches very clearly. But if you're desirous of more as I am, then we need to think about this. We can be delivered and still largely live a life of defilement. This is tragic. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. We're already there in the chapter. Look at it. This is in context. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself, folks. Let's not deceive ourselves. Oh, I can just live however I want as a Christian. No, no, no big deal. I'm on my way to heaven. No, there are consequences. God says loss. Not loss of salvation. Listen to me. Not loss of salvation. Loss of reward. That's what God is talking about. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, so-called, that they are vain. Therefore, here it is, we've started to put this together. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Wow, that's an amazing statement. Why is that the case? And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. To the glory of God, all these things are yours. The goodness of God is poured out to us because of Him, not because of us. But we can be delivered and still largely live a life of defilement, to worship ourselves, to worship others, to worship things. God calls that a life of defilement. But notice and recognize the gifts flowing from the eternal free gift. Notice this language, the give language. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. Notice quickly, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions," these are marks of a carnal person, "are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" That's not a calling card to say, "Well, I go back to brother so-and-so. He's the one I follow." That's not a good calling card. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Here becomes the language of the gift. "But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord," here it is, "gave to every man." What are you saying, preacher? That the glorious Almighty God has given ministers to every man. He's provided ministers to every man so that we can be born again. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. God's provided a minister for those that want to be born again, for those that have a desire to fellowship with the Almighty Creator. God says, "I've given you ministers." God has given the church ministers. Not only ministers, but the increase. If there's any increase, this is more in the planting language that he uses earlier in the chapter. He says if there's any increase, if there's fruit that comes about that at the end you'll have a reward for, God's the one that provided the increase. God did it. If there's anything good being built on that foundation, I don't need to be the one to take credit for it, because it's not because of me. It's because of the goodness of God. If there's anything good in my life, I must say, praise God. Praise God. Because He gives the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. How do you like that for a self-esteem pickup? You ain't anything. I don't care how great you think you are. And neither am I. But God that giveth the increase. God gives the ministers, God gives the increase, God gives the reward. Verse number 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Both of those things are true. We are one with Christ, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Don't think you're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ, Christian friend, and simply say, "But I was a member of Open Door Baptist Church. Lord, look at all the things my church did." No, the Lord said, "Let's go a little deeper and let's open up your books." I'm not just talking about financial books. I know what y'all are thinking. Primarily, I'm talking about our schedule. Everything flows out of time. That's why they say time is money. God's going to look at our books. He's going to say, you can't just take credit for all that Open Door Baptist Church ever did. What did you do within Open Door Baptist Church? God's going to be the one to give the reward. He gives the ministers. He gives the increase. He gives the reward. I love this. He gives the grace to build. He gives the grace. People get all proud about what they're able to do, and I did this and I did that. Man, if God allowed just one little thing to happen in your body, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't even get out of bed. You couldn't even open your eyes. Who you think you are? Verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Folks, there's coming a day. The fire is going to reveal the foundation. The church at Corinth was an extremely and highly gifted church. Read the first chapter. You'll figure that out. I believe God did that because of where He placed them. They were in a very influential area. And so God put some gifts in their midst because He expected something for where He put them. If God has given you some sort of special gift or skill, you better recognize that's just not for you so you can look great. That's what God is telling Corinth. You're gifted, but it's not for you. It's for me. It's for my glory. That's what God is saying. The church at Corinth was an extremely and highly gifted church, but they were in danger of letting it go to their heads, like we are too. As if they were the originators of the gift or deserving of the gifts. No, no. He is exclusively worthy of the glory. And that which glorifies God, listen to me, that which glorifies God is that which will survive the fire. God is eternal. So that which will properly glorify an eternal God is that which will last for eternity. No wonder if all else is consumed, the foundation remains. The foundation remains. Now I wonder, are you prepared for the day when the fire reveals the foundation? Do you have that exclusive foundation as your only foundation this morning? Do you know you've been born again into the family of God because of God's Word, the authority of the Word of God? Or are you trusting something else? Friend, you better get yourself a foundation. You better realize there's coming an engulfing fire. And you better know that anything good that comes out of our life after that comes as a result of His eternally free gift. Praise God for it. Let's bow our heads together.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.